Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, I am in a weird mood. I don't know why, but let me just warn you, you never know what you're going to hear on this show. Okay? I've already got that out. Now, first guest up is best-selling author and my dear friend, Scott Duffy, the book Breakthrough from Entrepreneur Press. We'll talk to him, and then we're going to talk to Kevin Oakes. Kevin Oakes is author of a book, Culture Renovation, 18 Leadership Actions to Build an Unshakable Company. So that's in the second half of the show. Joining me right now from the What Now Academy and What's Next to Build a Great Company is my pal, Scott Duffy, co-host, the co-host with the most of the video series we did. Gosh, it's been like 5 years ago now, Scott. Business and Burgers. And I can't believe how time flies, man. How you been?
I cannot believe it's been 5 years.
I know.
I mean, how time flew when we were filming it.
I know.
And to think that it was 5 years ago, oh my gosh.
Well, the reason why I called you right now is I need a burger. Anyway, that's another story.
How great is it? So we're, you know, I'm here in California today, and how great is it to have things opening back up again?
Oh, man.
I think we went to a new tier today. I think we're at the lowest tier here in Orange County, Newport Beach. And so the restaurants all opening back up again. It's just so great to see.
I will tell you, I went to Costco, and my wife wanted these keto ice creams because I'm on a keto diet. And of course, I ate one bar because it says the word keto. And so I ate one bar, and I went back in the next time, and the other seven were gone. The box was still there in the freezer.
You ate the whole box.
No,
she ate the whole box. There's no way. How can you have one bar?
She ate the whole box. So now she is hooked on these things. They're really good there at Costco. But to your point, only half of the people in there were wearing masks. And I saw this one lady complain about somebody, and they said, well, you know, that's, you know, you got blah, 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 blah. And I don't know what was being said. But so there are people that are still paranoid. There are people that are not paranoid. Personally, I've had COVID. Have you had COVID yet, Scott?
I have.
You have? See, I mean, it's going around. I think it's kind of trendy at this point. But anyway, I'm just playing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the mask, no mask thing is really tough when you're a business owner.
I know.
Because particularly if you're a retail store owner, all you want is to keep your shop open.
I know.
Right? All you want is to be able to do a good job. And right now, whether you are supposed to or you're not supposed to wear a mask, it's so confusing.
I know.
In California, we're told one thing on the state level. We're told another thing on the local level. Yep. The CDC has its own rules. The president's got it. So, you know, I would just say that, you know, if you're a patron of a retail store and they ask you to put on a mask,
put it on.
You know, no, it has nothing to do with you. They're doing everything they can to stay open.
I
so
know.
They don't have to repeat what happened last year.
I think people need to chill just a little bit on the whole thing. I just keep one in my pocket if somebody asks me to put it on. You know what? Live and let live. That's all I can say. So first of all, I want to tell the world that coming up pretty quick here, Scott Duffy is going to have a fantastic event out at the Sundance Resort in Utah. And I went to, I think I was at the last one, wasn't I? I was at the last one, yes. But it wasn't.
Sure?
But it was in Utah, but it was up in Park City. This time you're doing it at the Sundance Resort. So
We are. And I tell you, Alan, it feels so good to get back to normal.
Oh my gosh.
To be able to throw events. I don't know what was a tougher business to be in last year, the live event business or the restaurant business.
I know.
You know, they were both tough places to be. but to be able to get back out there and throw events again. But again, for those people out there that are listening that are speakers, they're authors, they throw events, that's kind of been their world. It's still a really interesting time. And in talking to the resort and other resorts when we're booking, most events are being booked right now for the beginning of next year.
Yeah.
Most of the training and the speaking and business conference events.
Yep.
And I would say of our community, we have a really vibrant community. And about 60% feel really good about getting together as a group. The other 40% just aren't sure yet.
I know.
So I think we're kind of in that gray area right now.
Well, so if you want to find out more about this event, by the way, you go to Scott Duffy, Duffy.com. And I got my brother here on the show, Scott Duffy. His book, Breakthrough.
It's a great time.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more. We've got you on for a couple segments here. What Now Academy and what to do next to build a great company. That's what the whole show is about today. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. For you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do. I feel good because my friend Scott Duffy is on the phone here with us. The Breakthrough Mastermind. I don't know why I didn't even bother giving the name for it. It goes along with the book Breakthrough from Entrepreneur Press. This is Entrepreneur Weekly radio show. Scott, so the event is June 15th to 18th, by the way, scottduffy.com. But I want to talk about, you know, you have this What Now Academy. Did you even have a clue that we were heading into this crazy time of life when you named it the What Now Academy? Because it's like 90% of all entrepreneurs and business people worldwide are like, what now? What do we do with this? You know?
You know, the crazy thing, Alan, is the night before they shut the country down, I was speaking at Baron Baptiste's event.
Oh, my friend.
In Ojai, your friend who you introduced me to. Yeah. When we spoke to this conference, there were 500 people. We're all in the same room doing yoga and all that kind of stuff. And to end the first day of the conference, Baron, for those of you who don't know, owns over 200 yoga studios around the world. And when we were finished, we walked outside and I did a book signing. And there was a line. Say there were 100 people in line. Well, none of us had our phones on because we were just in a yoga class I just spoken in. And the first person came up and they said, did you hear the news? And I said, what news? And they said, well, you know, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, they contracted COVID. And I'm like, wow. So we get about halfway through the line and somebody says, did you hear the news? I said, what's the news? They said, Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz just contracted COVID. I'm like, what? We get to the last person in the line, one of the last people. They say, did you hear the news? I said, what? They said they just canceled the NBA season.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so surreal. And so we got in the car after the book signing. We didn't even stay overnight. We drove back to L.A. And that night, I can't tell you how many business owners who I work with called me. And they're like, okay, so what do I do now? Like, right. What do I do now? Okay. What do we do tomorrow? What's coming next?
Okay.
And that really inspired the Academy.
Okay, so I was wondering, because I thought to myself, it's actually a great name. It's amazing that you even got it, because, you know, every name is taken, right? But it took something like this pandemic to create this What Now Academy, because really, truly, like you said, and you just, I guess you explained the whole scenario, because that is what people said. What now? I remember thinking, saying that to my wife, what now? You know? So Scott, what now?
well, what now is I guess the first thing to answer your question is, what now is, let's use the data that's available to us to make smart business decisions.
There
you go. And the reason I'm saying that is, it was one thing to go, okay, what now? And Alan, I started a show called What Now? And what we did is, one of the people on my team, Marissa Friedman, Marissa is one of a handful of brand ambassadors in the U.S. for Google. And she is incredible at digging through and analyzing data. And what we did is, that next day we went and we took a look at what searches people were making that were my target customer. And the crazy thing about it was the number of searches and how they ranked at the top that started with what now? What now or what next? Mm. And so we looked at it and actually started to leverage the data. And then, you know, for all of you entrepreneurs out there, what was really cool is, as COVID went on and we got further into the year and I started to develop new programs and write new books and things like that, all we did was leverage the questions that people were asking Google, and we answered those questions, and that was our content. Mm.
Well, it's funny, because since I've had COVID, I have asked myself this question, what now, many a time, and I have this COVID, a little bit of a COVID fog, I've been calling it, and it's a real thing. But I, for the first time in my life, Scott, you know, I've always been one of these driven men, and I like cars too, as you know. And so to me, it's like, I thought, it's good to be driven. It's good to be passionate. It's good to be ambitious. It's good to be all these things. And then when you get, you know, kind of hit with this, you know, this worldwide thing, my wife actually said, God had to stop the world to slow you down. And I thought, well, me and about a billion other entrepreneurs just like me. And I mean, look at, it's had to affect you too. I mean, everybody that was in that wild mode of life of, you know, being an entrepreneur had to really stop and think and look at actionable steps they could take and changes they could make. So perfect timing for the What Now Academy. And let me take a break and we'll come back with one more segment and we'll continue on this, because truly, what now? Because things are starting to open up. It's going to change again. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Check out Scott's website. I was going to say entrepreneur.com, but that's mine. But ScottTuffy.com. He is an entrepreneur. His book is Breakthrough from Entrepreneur Press. And also, go check out our video series we did. It's a few years old, but these videos were awesome. We took people to lunch. Businessandburgers.com. We'll be right back. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So when you're learning to fly, Foo Fighters, that's the name of this song. You know, entrepreneurs, that's us. We're constantly learning to fly. I was driving a truck and a trailer today, and it got really windy. And I found out that I'm having to learn how to drive all over again, because when you're driving along and the wind blows and the trailer starts wagging and you're like, oh my gosh, this thing's going out of control. That's business. That's life. You're constantly learning something new. So Scott Duffy joining me is my friend for a long time, best-selling author of Breakthrough. It's from Entrepreneur Press. You can find it at scottduffy.com, or I'm sure anywhere books are sold or online. He has a podcast called the What Now Podcast with Scott Duffy. A mastermind coming up, the Breakthrough Mastermind. It's June 15th through the 18th at the Sundance Resort in Utah. You can, again, go to scottduffy.com to find out all about that. And then the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Kevin Oakes, author of Culture Renovation. And he also has 18 leadership actions to build an unshakable company. And I got to tell you, Scott, I mean, the What Now Academy that you've started in the last, I don't know, what's it been, year and a half? It's just, it's like the timing is perfect. And the fact that you're an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs, they almost need a problem to solve. And then all of a sudden something new is born. You know what I mean? Here comes this worldwide pandemic and boom, you go, I know what to do. Boom. I'm pivot, right? You got to pivot. So congrats on that, man.
Thank you. You know, I love what you just said about doing something new. I'd love to share a story. A few years ago, you know, Alan, I'm a huge basketball fan. I'm a huge Laker fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I had an opportunity to do something with the Lakers up in L.A. at Staples. And I remember getting to ask Phil Jackson a question. And, you know, Phil Jackson, the iconic coach who coached the Bulls and Michael Jordan, the 6 championship rings, and the Lakers, the 3. And I just have one question. The question is, what is it that makes a guy like Michael and Kobe, makes them so different than everybody else? What makes them, you know, they're number one, and number two is, you know, so far. And his answer was really interesting. His answer was Shoshin, S-H-O-S-H-I-N, Shoshin. And it's a word that's used in Buddhism, which means beginner's mind. Mm. And what he said is, every single time those guys walked on the court, they had this amazing ability to forget everything that they learned up to that point and be completely open to learning new things. And I think that one of the biggest challenges that we have as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as business leaders, is when something has worked for us for a long time, and then something gets in the way, a market changes, circumstances change, what we tend to do is go back to what worked before, but we do it more and harder. And so I think that one of the most valuable skills that an entrepreneur can have today is this idea of beginner's mind, and be asking your customers, regardless of what worked in the past, what is it that you need now? What's most important to you now? And what has to happen, or how do you know that you're getting what you want? And I think that the companies, the leaders that ask those two questions over the next 6 months to a year, those are going to be the ones that win really big out of this COVID crisis.
Yep. You know what I was thinking as I was driving to work today? I thought, you know, I was just born different. I think there's a TV show called Born Different, but not in the way the TV show was. I mean, I guess I'm kind of normal looking, but I was born different because I was born an entrepreneur, and I don't know any other way. But the one thing entrepreneurs are good at is, I think, and you're an entrepreneur, so you get it, is pivoting. Because as an entrepreneur, you realize that, first of all, nothing is forever, because, you know, when you sometimes live paycheck to paycheck, you're literally, you know, that's the beginning sometimes, because you're putting every extra penny into your business. You're looking for that side hustle, and then all of a sudden the side hustle takes off and you're like, oh my God, this is an, so you start a second business when you're already starving. And you know, it's like now you got two, and my sister had like seven at one point, and one went bankrupt. And you know, I was like, oh my gosh. And she's like, no, it doesn't matter. I got a good tax write off now. And I'm like, this is, she can pivot her way out of anything, you know? So, I think that entrepreneurs are definitely different. We think different. We live a different lifestyle. We're different. Yeah. And I think that different in a great way. So I just want to reiterate, though, that this event is coming up. If you guys have been, you know, you're like couch potatoes, you got roots growing through your couch into the carpet, you might want to get out of the house and visit, you know, with some other like-minded people. My job is to make these introductions, right? I'm introducing you. If you've never heard of Scott Duffy, this is a great dude. He's got an event coming up June 15th to the 18th in Sundance, Utah. It is beautiful. The people that he will invite, I'm sure, are awesome, because I'm one of them. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, but it's called The Breakthrough Mastermind. He's got a book called Breakthrough. You can find it at scottduffy.com, all the information. He's also got a podcast. Listen to his podcast. It's called The What Now Podcast with Scott Duffy. He's got so much going on. He's a brilliant man. He's a dear friend of mine, and I hope that he becomes a dear friend of any one of yours, because with a friend like Scott, you've always got somebody that'll give you some great advice. And our podcast that we did...
I'm going to have you introduce me everywhere.
I was just thinking, our podcast that we did called Business and Burgers, literally Microsoft came to us and says, you know, what else can you guys do? You know, and we go, let's go get a burger and talk about it. And jokingly, both of us go, Business and Burgers. And the next thing you know, how many would it be? 40 episodes or something crazy. So anyway.
Yeah, we shot 44 episodes. Do we have time? Can I share one more quick story?
No, next time. Sorry, bro.
Next time. We're out of time.
We're out of time. Go to his website. Check him out. We could talk for hours, as you know. Coming up next, Kevin Oakes, author of Culture Renovation. And don't forget, scottduffy.com. Easy website. Thank you, brother. I love you, man. We'll be right back. He was a hard-headed man. He was brutally handsome.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, it's time for all of us to admit that things have got to change. I mean, in every way. This may have been a big, big favor that somebody has done for us, because everybody is waking up. And we're waking up and going, you know, all the old ways just don't work anymore, because it's a different world. So my next guest, who is an author and a CEO and co-founder of a company, author of the book Culture Renovation. Huh, perfect timing. Culture Renovation, 18 Leadership Actions to Build an Unshakable Company. His name is Kevin Oakes. He's joining us right now. He's also the CEO and co-founder of the Institute for Corporate Productivity. On the web, it's www.i4cp.com. That's Institute for Corporate Productivity. And am I saying this right, Kevin? I mean, the world needs to be kind of revamped, not the world, but the way we do business in the world. And for entrepreneurs, they're looking outside right now going, well, the government is paying everybody to stay home and not work. And now I need employees. And everybody's fighting and arguing about whether this, that, or the other, or he's a she and she's a he, or whatever it is. You know, it's there's a fight over everything. Should we put the kids in school? Can I go back to work? Should I keep doing the Zoom calls? It's like, oh my God, it's so confusing. And from what I understand, in 2020, you guys had like your best year. And there's a lot of history on you, but am I right that everything needs to be kind of reinvented how we do business these days? Especially when it comes to human resources, yeah. You know?
Yeah, Alan, I think you're on the right point. And if there was ever a time period that tested organizations' agility and individuals' adaptability and willingness to change, it was this past year. And so we, with all the organizations we work with, they tell us that every day, they're embarking down roads that they've never been down before. There's no
right.
blueprints or playbook to follow. And so it's been a very interesting time period.
Mm. Tell us about I4CP.com. Again, it's the Institute for Corporate Productivity. Tell us what you do. It's for everybody.
So we're an HR research company. In fact, we do more research in the field of human capital or human resources than anyone on the planet, always with a business lens of what are high-performing organizations doing differently with their people practices versus low-performing organizations. And we define high performance as companies that have better revenue growth, profitability, market share, et cetera. But there's always a marked difference with how they treat their people and what kinds of programs and policies they have in place versus those low-performing organizations. And so we bring that out from a research perspective, and companies subscribe to get access to that research, but they also, and maybe even more importantly, get access to a network of HR executives. We have tens of thousands of HR executives in a closed network. There's no vendors in it. There's no consultants in it. So they're not getting tapped on the shoulder by someone trying to sell them something. It's just a safe haven for those organizations to share ideas, to ask questions, to share tools, even strategies that will help them with their people practices.
Mm. So let me ask you about corporate culture. And are corporations better off renovating or reinventing themselves right now instead of, you know, trying to keep the old way of doing things alive? Because like I said, and you just said it too, the old way almost doesn't exist anymore. You can't. Every time you turn around, you step on a mouse trap that somebody put behind you, that the path used to be clear before, and now snap, snap, ow! You know, everywhere you go, you're getting bit by somebody or something. So corporate culture.
Yeah, well, so this book that I just published has been doing quite well, and I think it's doing well because it's hitting at a good time. I think a lot of these organizations are revisiting their culture. You know, and let's face it, a company's culture changed during the pandemic. Like right. it or not, it changed.
Right.
And so the question for a lot of these companies is, you know, do I want to be passive and just reactive to that change? Or do I want to be proactive and shape the culture so that it fits with the vision of what we want to be in the future? Mm. And I wrote the book based on a research study that we had done on culture change. And the fact is that most companies who try to change their culture, they fail. In fact, only about 15% actually succeed. But we honed in on that 15%, and we wanted to understand, was there a commonality of those successful organizations, a blueprint that others could follow? And that's how the book was born. We created 18 action steps, as you said at the beginning, that those successful companies followed in order to have positive culture change overall. And the book is filled with lots of real-life examples from companies you all know, and quotes a lot of great CEOs. And I was very fortunate to interview a number of great CEOs and heads of HR and other HR execs around their efforts in culture change.
Mm. This is very interesting because this reminds me of kind of the book Think and Grow Rich, right? When I first saw the title of the book, I thought, oh, cool, I want to grow rich. But at the end of the day, after reading it, I realized think. That's the first thing you got to do. And if you put thoughtfulness into what you do, then everything changes. And you have to think and care and love not only your employees and not only your customers, but your customers and your employees. It's the old saying of, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So let's take a break here. We'll come back and talk more about this. Okay, the book once again is Culture Renovation, 18 Leadership Actions to Build an Unshakable Company. And we're talking to Kevin Oakes. And also, www.i4cp.com, i4cp.com for the Institute of Corporate Productivity. The first thing I did is I said, oh, you know these guys that did this business down here in my town? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're one of our customers. So, I mean, these guys, they're out there, and they're doing really well right now. We could all learn a little something, and we hope we will right on this radio show. Don't go anywhere. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Looking down the barrel of a hot man. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. And if you're an entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur or just a person in business, even if you work for somebody else, if you think like an entrepreneur, it changes everything. And you end up becoming an entrepreneur at some point. Our guest today is Kevin Oakes. He is the author of Culture Renovation. And I'm going to ask you about why you use the term renovation there in just a moment. But 18 Leadership Actions to Build an Unshakable Company. Kevin is also a CEO and co-founder of I4CP, which is the Institute for Corporate Productivity, and a leading HR firm that discovers the people practices of high-performance organization. People practices. I'm just going to read a little bit more here because this is interesting. It says, Kevin has been a pioneer in the human capital field for the last 25 years after serving as CEO of the first company created by Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. He also created and served as president of Sum Total Systems, one of the largest providers of talent and learning solutions in the world. Congratulations on all that. Can I just ask you that one question? Why did you use the term renovation in your book, by the way? There's other,
You know, as we were looking at culture change, Alan, it's pretty common that people will use the word transformation when they talk about culture change.
Oh, transformative,
but when we got into it, it was very clear that no company ever transforms from something they were to something completely different. It was just not the right term to use.
Right.
In fact, the successful companies, they were very intentionally renovating their company. So much like you would with an old house, where you want to keep what's unique to that house and what's hard to replace and just renovate so that you can improve its value over time, that's what companies were doing as well. They were holding on to some of their history. Maybe it was their original purpose, their original values, whatever made them great to begin with.
Right.
But they're renovating the company so that they can improve the value long term.
Right.
And so renovation just became a nice metaphor to use. And those 18 action steps that we talked about, we put them into a set of three phases. So plan, build, and maintain, kind of keeping with that renovation theme.
Right, right. Well, and so in our next segment, by the way, I want you to kind of skip a rock through the 18 leadership actions. But I do have a question about culture. How important is culture to financial success? Because I think for many, many decades, we thought the culture, was the bedrock of, the companies. But anymore, man, there's been like earthquakes, seismic problems that have shaken the culture, you might say, and the cracks and things are falling apart all over the place. So how important is it now for financial success?
It's critical. If you want ultimate financial success, first work on your culture. And that was essentially the words that Satya Nadella said when he took over as CEO of Microsoft about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. I profiled Microsoft early in the book because Satya recognized right away that he had to make some profound changes to the culture of the company if they wanted to have the success that they ended up having. And he turned that company into the most valuable company in the world. I think it's number two right now from a market cap perspective. But he very intentionally tried to create a culture of learn-it-alls versus what it previously was a culture of know-it-alls.
Right.
And it became a culture that adopted a phrase called growth mindset, where mistakes are not immediately punished. They're viewed as part of the learning process. And that traits in people are not innate. They can be learned. And that was sort of the core tenet of what he tried to do within the culture. And it worked. And it's a great blueprint if you're a small company or a large company to follow. I think what Microsoft did early on is a blueprint to follow. And they and many, many others that I profiled in the book ultimately had fantastic financial success by first focusing on the culture.
Yeah. No, it, again, coming back to being thoughtful, like the Think and Grow Rich, one of my favorite books. As I read, I was like, oh, my God, these are just awesome stories of how people, you know, live their lives and learned and were thoughtful. And that little bit of thoughtfulness, it actually was the seed that grew. And all of their brilliant ideas weren't as brilliant as really learning these lessons. Like you said, learn it all, which is, again, brilliant, mm-hmm. instead of being a know-it-all. We're all know-it-alls until one day we fall flat on our face and chip a tooth, you know. All right, could you get started a little bit on some of these 18 leadership actions to build an unshakable company? We could do a couple a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, there are three phases, plan, build, and maintain. And that plan phase starting out is so critical. A lot of companies will leap right into the build phase and try to start making changes to their culture. But first, you have to step back and listen to the workforce. I tell senior teams this all the time. The worst thing you can do as an executive team is lock yourself in a conference room and decide amongst yourselves what the culture is today, because you'll get it wrong. You have to get out there and through a series of surveys and other listening mechanisms, understand what the employee sentiment is. They will clue you in to what's going well, what's not going well in the culture, so you have a much better comprehensive view overall of the culture. And then once you've got that, you've got to, as a senior team, figure out what you want to keep, like I said, from the historical perspective, what makes you a great company today and what's worthwhile keeping going forward before you set that path that you want to go down. I also talk in that plan phase about defining the leadership behaviors that you want to see throughout the organization. Employees do what leaders do. So it doesn't really matter what's written on a PowerPoint or what's framed on a wall. What matters is that the leaders are walking the talk. And so defining the behaviors you want to see out of your leaders and then training them on those behaviors was also part of the first phase, you know, before you really get into trying to build out a new culture going forward.
Right.
Last thing I'll mention, Alan, you know, just in that plan phase, a step that I really love is identifying the influencers and the blockers. Because while culture change really needs to be championed and led from the top, you need the cooperation of so many people inside the organization to really make that change stick.
Yeah.
And in any organization, there are these go-to people that everybody relies on and trusts. But a lot of times, senior leaders, they don't know who they are. And so until you take the time to analyze that.
Right.
You've got to figure out who those people are and enlist them as part of your culture ambassadors.
Love it. Culture ambassadors. We're going to take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by AutoTempest.com. AutoTempest.com makes online car shopping easy. With the powerful AutoTempest.com search engine, you can simultaneously search all the top car sites like Cars.com, True Car, Carvana, even Hemmings and Cars and Bids and many others. You don't have to search all these different websites individually. Just check out AutoTempest.com. Our guest right now is Kevin Oakes. He is author of Culture Renovation, 18 Leadership Actions to Build an Unshakable Company. And he said something there, and I want to go back to it. Culture ambassadors. And I love that because you know, it's like they become change agents for you. But if you don't know who they are, those change agents could be changing things in a wrong direction. Because to me, you know, to run a business, you have to be passionate about what you're doing. And a lot of times we're passionate but ambitious. You have to be thoughtful about what you're doing, but we're a lot of times willful about what we're doing. Because entrepreneurs are usually somebody that just jumps in head first and they haven't put enough thought into it. But here we are, we're getting to the point where with entrepreneur.com, people are really learning things. They're getting ahead of their problems. And that really has to happen because of taking time to do your research. And of course, I think Kevin's company, the Institute for Corporate Productivity, can probably help you with this. But this thing that you said about culture ambassadors, these change agents that I called them, how do you go about telling people in companies to find them? I mean, what is the process? Do you just, you know, take them to lunch? Where do you start, Kevin? You know?
There's actually a science, Alan, called organizational network analysis. And people can Google this and read a lot more about it. But it was it's a science that's been championed by a particular professor at Babson. His name's Rob Cross. And through a series of surveys, as well as you can do this just by kind of monitoring Slack or Teams or email even, you want to understand what is the workflow inside the company. And like I had said in the last segment, in any organization, there are these go-to people, these influencers
right.
that everybody seems to turn to. They're often the subject matter experts, and they often fly under the radar because they're buried in the hierarchy, or many times they're introverts. They're not extroverts. But those are your culture ambassadors. Those are the people that when you're trying to have positive culture change, you want them to be enlisted and on board because they're going to be influencing at the ground level. And so that's what organizational network analysis will help you uncover those people. It also helps you uncover some of the blockers, too. And like you said, those blockers can be very detrimental. And it's one of the hardest things for organizations to figure out what to do with. But you got to get those blockers either on board or out of the way. If they're powerful enough inside the organization, they can have a real negative effect on the culture change you're trying to implement.
Right. Wow. Yes. And I mean, when you're a small company and you have a handful of employees, you immediately know, you know, the cream rises to the top. You see who is most efficient, who is thoughtful, who is on time. I actually went into one of my offices one time and one of the employees was sitting there snoring. And so I closed the door a little bit abruptly to wake him up. He didn't wake up. So I went over and I videotaped him snoring. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to save this in my phone in case he ever comes to me and complains. I mean, some people, you know, but when you see it, you can deal with it. But when you have a company that grows to a certain size where now you are doing your job and you cannot be down in the manufacturing or wherever it is, boy, this stuff, these, as you call them, human capital, they literally are the bedrock of your organization. And so cultivating and cherishing these people, learning how to be thoughtful instead of willful, passionate and loving instead of ambitious and blind. These are all the things that I think that, you know, probably in your book, which I need to get a copy of it. Again, the book is Culture Renovation, 18 Leadership Actions to Build an Unshakable Business. And I think unless you have a company that's called Shake Shack or something like that, they want that shake in there. They want that shakeable stuff. So no, I'm playing with you. Anyway, listen, thank you. It's been enlightening. And there is a science.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. There is a science. Somebody, like Kevin and his team, somebody's got to put together the science so that we have a blueprint, because we don't want to have to do this work. I mean, look, Kevin's been doing it for 25 years plus. All right. So for this week, that's it for Entrepreneur. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back. Make sure you check out our website, entrepreneur.com. There's videos, many more podcasts, great stories to help you in your journey as an entrepreneur. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.